We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Andy Liu, it is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, February 1st. Most of you are listening to this on February 2nd. Do you know what February 2nd is, Andy?
What is February 2nd?
Groundhog's Day.
Oh, true.
Speaking of Groundhog's Day, the Warriors lose 119-114 to the Minnesota Timberwolves in a game they had absolutely no business losing. Almost feels like a perfect start to how many different times we've seen this loss this season?
Yeah, eight, this is 12, 9, 20. Let me ask you this. How many times do we need to see this loss this season before we give up on this team? How many times? Until they're out of the playoffs, until they're out of the playing game, until they drop to the 12th?
You know, we got a week till the trade deadline, and we're going to get into that a little later. This team needs something. That much I know for a fact, because it's the same thing every time they lose. Ran out of gas, turnovers, small on the boards, low margin for error, just a bunch of little things. I'm tempted to say this is the most frustrating loss they've had this season, but that also feels like exactly what I would say 10 minutes after the game, you know?
Like, we've said it so many times that now I'm like, it's this one or that one. But let me tell you this. This game was very much for me a wow. Steph, Draymond, and Klay are old. And Jordan Poole does not fit with those three right now. That's what this game felt like to me. Yeah, could they use another guy or two? Yeah, sure. They lost tonight because those guys are old. And those guys were terrible for 17 straight minutes. That's why they lost. They didn't lose because there was a ninth guy. Yeah, maybe they were tired. They lost because they sucked. They were terrible.
I have a few thoughts. One, the ninth guy thing is bullshit. And let me say that right now. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, is this going to be the ninth guy? Why do we presume anyone they acquire is going to be worse than Jordan Poole or Dante DiVincenzo? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this idea that those guys are like certified, stamped, top of the road. No, dude, this team is too thin. That's the first thing we know. But to your point, I agree with you. They looked old. I texted you before the game saying, Gobert is out. That probably helps Minnesota, you know? And that was my main takeaway watching the Wolves. You know, not the... It's not like an NBA Finals like IQ team, but they're super athletic, long, and mobile across the board. Like Jaden McDaniels, Slo-Mo, who I've always been a Slo-Mo guy, Ant Edwards. Like they just got guys who can switch or athletic and get all over the place. They made the Warriors look old, and they highlighted the fact that like outside of Wiggins and Kuminga, they are old and small and kind of lack athleticism, and that's a big thing for me.
Oh, I think they look small because Poole's out there with Steph and Klay. That has nothing to do with how this team. It's you cannot close with him, mm-hmm. and the Warriors tried to close with him against Boston, and they had him out there. I don't really know why Wiggins. I felt like Wiggins was on a minutes restriction. Like, that could be the only reason why he was out.
He's looked weird physically for a while, and you're probably right. There's some sort of maintenance there, because like, Steve Kerr is going to go with him if he's right.
And he didn't, and I think that's because, and I think that's why they lost. It's just every defensive possession is a joke with Jordan Poole, Steph, and Klay out there together. Now, I wouldn't say like Poole didn't do anything specific to lose the game. I think overall Steph probably played the worst 17 minutes I've seen him play all season by far. That was the worst quarter I've seen, starting with the turnover up 13 that really brought Minnesota back in the game. But I think in unison, that was awful. Steph with Klay, who didn't make a shot in the fourth, Draymond, who really talked all game, was good for three quarters, then I'm not sure what they had, a behind the back turnover there where he and Steph turned the ball over three times in crunch time, which we never see. Just up and down the roster. It's not that they still win this game. It's not that they're not athletic enough. They're just playing terrible. And the problem is, we've seen it too many times. Just playing terrible. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. Is if you say they're tired, then yeah, then they get a couple more guys. Maybe that'll help them not get tired. But other than that, man, it was just quality of play from these guys that were so, so bad.
Yeah, I mean, a large part of it's that. I'm pulling up the box score right now.
Oh, God.
Hard to ignore, you know, Steph and Klay, 40 minutes. Draymond, 39 minutes.
Yeah.
Wiggins, only 35 minutes, and it is weird that he's not playing more minutes. Kuminga, only 15 minutes, and I kind of get it with Steve. I still think Kuminga is going to be an excellent player long-term, but that does not mean he is always that guy. There was some bad fouling, four personal fouls. He was in foul trouble for a good part.
It's an eight-man rotation, by the way, in the second half. That is a playoff rotation in the second half. Not a good thing.
And really just a seven-man rotation, if we're being honest. He's trying to buy minutes with Kuminga and Lamb at this point. They're not getting the full minutes. Obviously, Dante and Looney are given the full reign. I get what you're saying with Poole. To me, it's, I mean, he is a smaller guard. He's 6'3", 6'4". It gets back to kind of, in my opinion, like the same point. They're just not like athletic enough around the core. That's what it comes down to. It's like, they're not big and athletic enough around those guys. Like, how much better would this team look if they had Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid around their core, you know, like, and those aren't particularly special players. Those are just guys whose skill sets fit what, you know, guys like Steph and Klay and Draymond are not doing in 2023. Right.
I do think, I mean, with Jaden McDaniels, I like him. He's a good player, but like, that's who Kuminga's supposed to be. With Naz Reid, well, let's not even get to who's supposed to be Naz Reid on this team. Let's forget that for a second. I do think it's a gaping hole that they've got to just select a guy, because if you're saying they're not athletic enough, it's at one position because they're starting the games right now going small, which I don't really think is a great idea, but I know why they're doing it. They're doing it because they have to play Draymond and Looney out there. They have to stagger Draymond and Looney.
Right.
Is what they're trying to do. I don't think Steve wants to go small to start the game, but they have to because they want to stagger the two. But we're still getting lineups to start the game where you've got all those three guards. And it was really cool last season, the turbo lineup. But ever since teams have figured it out, it's really been ugly since. I don't really think they've played a really great minute. And the problem, not just the defense, is Poole, Steph, and Klay can't really play offense together. One dude's always out of rhythm, right? Steph's playing way too much off ball sometimes, or it's Klay gets the ball and just chucks it up, or Jordan Poole is just on the other side. He's handling the ball. He's either hot or he's turned the ball over. It's just, when have we really seen them click offensively this season, those three guys? We haven't seen it once. I got to say, like, we haven't seen it once. And then we know that if that offense isn't going to click, then they're not going to play defense. So it's really all bad. But if you put Wiggins in Poole's situation, right, in spot to close the guy, I think they're fine. But I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. We got a couple of super chats. Let's get to them. From Zuby, based on turnovers, Dre and Steph unfortunately did not take the game seriously. I need more from Steph in the clutch. I mean, I am tempted to agree. A lot of this goes away if Steph does not play like an idiot. down the stretch a little
bit. Like really bad. Not just like, not just not good, but really, yeah, to your Boston, right? We literally stepped at the same thing he did in Boston. And then Brooklyn, kind of the same story. I just, some of these turnovers is, you're 30, you're going to be 35. We just said last game, Steph, 35. He's amazing. He's having a hell of a stretch here. And then he just drops that turnover repeatedly. And I don't know. You gotta be smarter than that. I don't know what else to say. Help me out here. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I mean, my honest opinion is I do think Minnesota's athleticism caught up to him a little bit. And I think it does speak to some broader roster issues, but it's also Steph Curry. He's just as likely to hit four bullshit threes in a row and win that game. And there's two ways to look at it. One, he didn't play up to standard. Two, this team has no way to win unless Steph is playing like a super virtuoso MVP, which again gets back to the roster stuff. So I don't know. It's frustrating. That's the best way to put it. It is frustrating. We're a week away from the trade deadline. You got to be honest with it. We got one more super chat to get to here real quick from Awesome. Steph's old, but the fact they couldn't play Joku speaks to the roster issues. They need change. No excuses. They have no margin for error. Inexcusable.
One problem I see with the broader stroke of the change thing that the Warriors are looking at, I don't know if any of these guys, let's say, for example, Jared Vanderbilt, I don't know if he's going to play. I have no idea if he's going to be good in the Warriors system. Theoretically, he is, but I have no idea. Honestly, I'd probably say he might not be, just because we've never seen it. I'd probably bet that he wouldn't be good in the system. Alex Caruso is another guy. Like, he's probably a better bet that he's going to be good in the system.
It's whatever, hard to not see him being a Steve Kerr player.
That one's like kind of like Dante, even like Otto Porter. Like, you kind of knew. The problem, though, is the trade deadline. There's only going to be a quarter of – there's only going to be like 25 games left in the season. That's the problem, is that they need to pick a guy that's automatically going to be good in the system. And I don't – like all these names that they're throwing out there, PJ Washington, I don't know. Gary Trent Jr., I think definitely not. Eric Gordon, I don't know. Like, what are these – I just don't – at some point here, it's – and I keep throwing this out there. It's just, you just got to play some of the dudes and just maybe Kuminga, you just play him all the Lamb's minutes. Give him 22 minutes. See what happens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we know what we're going to get from – we know Kuminga has the potential to be better, so try to let him be better. I don't know, Sam. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Let's get to the Jonathan here going, rim protection, lob, threat. Lacking small ball flaw.
No,
overall,
no.
I don't think they're missing a rim protection or a lob threat, but they are missing an athletic punch. For me, I think they need a wing. I think they need a longer wing who can supplement Wiggins and who can play Warriors basketball going around it. That's one thing they don't have. I mean, you see them play lineups with Dante, Clay, Poole, and Steph at the same time. They're like, Jesus, this is so small. So they do need to get bigger. But to me, when you know Draymond at five is one of your best lineup options, it's getting another wing in there that needs to happen.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Adding a big, you know, it might help a little bit, but the wing, that's going to be what really changes things for the Warriors.
Yeah. I want to take this one because I think this is a good question. It segues into what we were talking about from Gregory. So how can you say Poole doesn't fit in the lineup when they just won a championship with Poole playing a big part? They could not win without him last season. So how is he not a fit? He's not a fit in closing lineups. He didn't close last season, especially in the playoffs. Never closed. GP2 was closing. Otto Porter was in those games. Kevon Looney was in those games. Jordan Poole, is he a good fit on this team? 100%. He had great, great stretches coming off the bench or just starting. Especially scoring the ball in Boston games. I was just rewatching the game, Sam, of Jordan Poole going off in the second quarter, coming off the bench, right? Like, that's who he is. But when it comes down to the last 5 minutes of the game, never was he once closing. And that's exactly what we're talking about now. Exactly what we're talking about now. If you're not going to be a super scorer,
yeah,
better be a good defender. And right now he's neither. So it's not really his fault, because if Clay wasn't playing, like, Poole would probably be better. It's not like Clay's playing great defense, right? But you can't play all three, man. You can't. You can't.
I mean, it's redundant. The thing I love about the thing I love about Poole is he allows them to be competitive when Steph's not on the floor, and that's something they've never had in the Steve Kerr era. It's like Steph goes off the floor, the offense disappears. At least with Poole, you have a guard who could do like a facsimile of his impression. But with that said, I'm not sure Steph, Clay, and Poole bring the best out of each other in terms of kind of like optimizing each other, like the way Andre Iguodala brought more out of Steph and Clay. And so they need another wing. They just do.
They need Andre.
Yeah, but
hey, bring him up.
It's not happening. He's gone.
You don't think he's out there? You think it's done?
I think it's over. I think it's over. I could be wrong. Got a quote here from Steve Kerr. Says the Warriors gift wrapped this game to the Timberwolves, that they're not good enough to win if they don't execute late. We got what we deserved. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. You're right. Well, I don't know what we're supposed to do with that, Steve, but yeah, it's what happened.
I mean, he said the same thing over and over again. Yes, they need to execute better, but they also, thumbs up, Steve. Thumbs up, Steve. That's it. This should be like the logo of the episode. Just both of us going thumbs up.
Congratulations. Yeah. Just the season, honestly. What are they now? 26 and 25. They go into Denver tomorrow. They're flying to Denver, altitude game. Vets play 40 minutes. They're going to play Wiseman, Moody, and Kuminga, right? So
it does not feel like the Vets will play tomorrow. Just,
I mean, it would be malpractice if they played. I mean, look at them tonight.
I don't know. But
I mean, terrible. We got another one, Sam.
Correa brings it up. Our superstars played like crap. There's no way around it. What's the deal with Clay being iced out? He didn't get a touch until late in the fourth and overtime.
You're going to bring me back to my agenda. You're going to bring me back to my agenda. To my agenda. You cannot play three guys. You just cannot play three guys. Two of them are just
three guys chuckers. Who are thirsty for shots. Yeah.
Thirsty. And Steph's thirst for shots in the fourth was, oh my God, Sam, what was the fadeaway 12-footer? I know he's not trying to shoot the three. I know he's not trying to shoot the crazy three right now. So he's going in the mid-range, but he's shooting the Kobe fadeaway when we've never seen him shoot the Kobe fadeaway. You just, Clay's out there coming off screen and pulls
not
necessarily.
I'm not mad at the shot selection. I think he needs to hit it is the thing.
I mean, that last mid-range shot was wide open. That was insane.
That one's weird because I've seen Steph hit that game winner on that like elbow extended jumper so many times. He's going to end the season shooting like 60% on that shot, and he missed it in the biggest moment here. So that's frustrating. That's the other thing that's really annoying. Steph hits a couple shots, and we're just talking about how Steph's the greatest of all time, and they look good. Even then, we're ignoring every like flaw we saw tonight, you know.
Which is kind of what happened the other night. And the other thing I just thought about too is,
there's no
with Steph, Clay, and Poole, and even Wiggins with those four guys. There's just no ball movement. There's no pass, get a good shot. When Andre, you know me, when Andre's out there, it's a pass, get a good shot. You know, you can have a chucker and play.
You sound like Steve Kerr right now.
I mean, it's just how they play basketball. If you want to play the modern way, then just go ISO spread out, right?
But and like, I'm just gonna be like this.
Was that Steph better? What was that? Steph better?
Of all the days for this to come out.
I know. I mean, that's what we're gonna sound like if he hit that shot, though. Let's be real. 100%. Let's be real. So,
shout out friend of the show, JJ Redick.
Friend of the show, JJ Redick. You're always welcome. Welcome on, my guy.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to. I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, I want to move this forward because we can look, we're getting voicemails to get into this.
Yeah.
A1 Bob Myers was on the radio today. Our friends over 95.7 The Game, he's on with Steiny and Guru. Gonna play a quick 2-minute soundbite for everyone, and then we're gonna react to it because I thought this was interesting. I thought it was interesting no matter how this game played out, but obviously in lieu of the loss and us feeling like they need a player more, a little more interesting, just a little bit, my friend.
Right now.
Yeah, that's the question. That is the question. And we gotta look and see if there's something that makes sense to answer that question. Sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not. Last year, I think obviously we had a better record at the deadline. We got lucky. I think we looked at a big, people wanted us to get a big, and Looney and Draymond held up, and Steve Moore went the way he's going now later on with Looney and Draymond staggered. I think he's going to that a little earlier. And I think that can help. We'll see how we play in the postseason. But yeah, we're always like any team, Matt, we got to see, is there someone out there that fills that spot? Is there someone in a buyout? Is there someone in a trade? Is there someone that even supplants that and becomes a sixth guy or a seventh guy? That's our job in the next 8 days.
Let me ask you this. If the goal is to win the title, which it is now, and we're a week before the deadline, and you look at this team, do you feel like you need to make a deal or you'd like to make a deal?
Good question. Can I say both?
Good question.
I guess I can't sit here and say that those eight and throw in somebody that can give you, even in the playoffs, somebody give you 5 minutes,
right?
6 minutes, can't beat a team in a series. And it's going to sound pretty, I don't know, you can decide how it sounds, but I think we stack up good enough. That's assuming health. But you always want to add to your margin of error, Matt. You always want to. It's not a margin of error that I'm entirely comfortable with as it stands. Can you increase that margin of error? There was the years where the margin of error was so big that I could answer that question and say, no, we don't need to do anything. I'd probably lie and say, but the truth was we didn't need to do anything. And those rosters bore out, and those seasons bore out that way. Our margin of error is not what it was. The record is not what it was. So I can't, comparing to what I know about the teams we've had, I'd like to get a bigger margin of error. Can we do it? I don't know. But I don't know if that answers your question.
Bob, the legend, the one.
I love Bob. I love Bob.
He gonna start crying?
The comments are incredible today. YouTube comments are incredible. Just the passion. Guys are arguing just about anything.
Let me ask you this.
It's great.
Did that sound the most definitive to you from a Warriors official kind of acknowledging that they need to improve this roster?
Well, short answer is yes. I also think that the Warriors are probably in this position for the first time. Like, seriously, they need to do something in this situation for the first time. Ever. I think you can make an argument, I think relatively fair argument, that few years ago, even without Klay, like, you're not really winning a title. And we saw that bore out last season. And then last season, we saw that they didn't really need to make a move to win at all. So I do think, like, and then obviously the dynasty before that, they didn't need to do anything. So I do think this is the first time in the Bob, Steve, Joey tenure that, guys, you're not winning a championship if you don't make a move, and you might not win a championship even if you make a move. But
this is the first time they're in the 5 seed land. Yeah. Where you're just kind of like, you know, you're not far away, but you're also, you're truly like in the middle of the playoffs.
Truly. And they might be a middle of the playoff team as constructed, because how the hell are they going to get, Sam, how are they going to get through the next 30 games? How? We just saw Steph completely fall apart tonight. And it was fatigue or whatever it was. But these guys are exhausted. Draymond is exhausted. I can see the whiteness, but I think there's more white in his spirit that comes out every game. It's just more. Soon he's just going to be.
Hey, no judgment. No judgments.
he's exhausted. It's like ever since you had a kid, you're just more white. You're just tired, more tired every day, you know? Kids got you, you know?
It happens. It happens. It happens to the best of us. I can still, you know, like Draymond, I can still hit game seven when I need to. But it's not happening. It's not happening February 1st against Minnesota. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to take his comments optimistically. There seems to be a little more pressure to make a move. He mentioned last year. He's like, we wanted to make a move last year, but didn't come together. By the way, finally admits that they were trying to make a move publicly, even though you and I both knew they were trying to. They're like, oh, we don't need to make a move. We got Wiseman coming back. Lying liars. Absolute liars. But you know, we knew that all along, you know, and they won. So they got the, you know what? You win. You can fucking write history the way you want. Facts. We knew Otto Porter could lock everyone up, you know, like facts. You got to do with facts. That.
Bielitsa.
Yeah. We knew when Tatum would see Bielitsa, he would just cower.
Easy money. Easy money. Tatum was shook.
You're right. You're right. They were looking.
You think it's weird that nothing has come out for a month straight, and then now it feels like today was the beginning of Matisse Thybul. The Warriors are interested. Alex Caruso. The Warriors are interested. Like, it took a long time, Sam, but I think
I keep coming back to this. Remember the D'Lo season where they spent all year lying to everyone about how they love D'Lo and think Steph, D'Lo, and Clay can work? And then, like, I don't know, maybe a week before the deadline, you start hearing that they're listening. They're listening to offers, you know, that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden you get like Shams or Slater. And I honestly, I can't remember who was the first to break it. Honestly, it was probably Slater and Shams to credit.
Oh, no,
but it was athletic. I knew that. You know, oh, they're considering training for Wiggins. And I was like, what? No, don't do that. That's a terrible idea.
Don't do that. Yeah.
and then 12 hours later, it comes to fruition. And I'm just like, really? Wiggins of all players? Because, you know, he was a joke at that point. Yeah, yeah. And to their credit, home run. They knew they found an undervalued player. It worked out for everyone. You know, credit to them. But the broader point was it was quiet up until it wasn't quiet. And I do think that's the Bob Myers MO, which is, we are not, they're not in the business of just rumor. Like, that's the Lakers, you know? The Lakers want everyone to know that they're sniffing every place possible, right? I think the Warriors operate the opposite way. I don't know if it means they're going to make a move, but, you know, that's been who they are as far as I can remember.
I guess I'm a little, we haven't seen it enough. Also felt like Bob was, felt like he was to your, like he was trying to hint at something while not trying to play. Cause we know if Bob comes, it's disingenuous if he comes out here and just says like, well, you know, Wiseman's back off injury and we're kind of getting ready to go and we'll get Moody some minutes here. Right. Like it cut the bullshit, right? Cut the bullshit.
Right.
And so I think he's being realistic and say, I'll say this, man, it might be his last trade deadline as a Warriors GM. So you gotta go on firing.
We'll see. Friend of the show, Marcus Thompson, throws this out there and it kind of aligns with your point, Andy. It's clear that going 7.5 deep hurt the Warriors in the long run. Got to expand the rotation. They look gassed.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you've been saying for a month. Shit. I'm more mad at Steph today and Draymond and Poole, but I mean, yeah, it's facts. The hell are they going to do 2 weeks from now when they're still going 8 deep? Guy's gonna get hurt.
They're gonna get hurt. They're gonna have one of the McDaniels brothers in a week or so.
I love them,
dude. They're
so good.
Defensively perfect Warriors players. Jaden's a little better, but Jaylen's good enough. I'll put that way.
Jaden's a lot better, but yeah, I'm with
you. Yeah. I don't know. There's a premium on him. Let's put it honest. Like we never really talked about it, but it's like, okay, I understand the Warriors letting Otto Porter go because they knew his body was breaking down and, you know, is all he's playing, you know, but they couldn't find a replacement for him. And I spent earlier today, looking at the free agency options, there was nothing out there that was available. You want to know why? There's a very limited number of 6'9 dudes who can defend at a high enough level and also hit open shots. Like, it is a unicorn thing to find. And we're kind of finding it right now. You know, it's like the hardest thing to find is a superstar. The second hardest thing is to find like size who can credibly play like a guard. And so, like, I mean, honestly, if the Warriors have a chance to get like Jalen McDaniels, do it, you know, like flaws aside, it's like the Wiggins thing. It's hard to find guys that size who can do some of those things and, you know, just deal with it because they make guys like Steph better and Steph obviously vice versa makes them better.
I mean, it's why Kuminga's untouchable is why he's not going anywhere.
Or the price got to be really high, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's why OG Anunoby is the best guy on the market for the Warriors. Not going to happen, but that's the best guy for the Warriors.
For everyone, honestly. Yeah. Like, I can make a case that 8 teams would move to the front of the line to be the title favorite if they got OG. You know, like, yeah. I think Memphis is a joke. Throw OG on him. Not so much of a joke anymore. He kind of solves a lot of their problems, right?
Who would they give up?
I'm just assuming they give up 15 draft picks.
You know? No, I'm with you. That's, I think, no, you're right.
Is it like Phoenix? I'm not a buyer in Phoenix, but all of a sudden if they flip Ayton into OG and you got like Bridges and OG around Booker, like all of a sudden I'm like, that's kind of a tough out because they got like the wingspan to make your life difficult and the guy to drive the offense. You know, it's hard to find wings. I think sometimes we forget about it because, like, you know, you had Andre and you have Clay and like it's, you know, you come into them kind of easier with the Warriors or did for a minute.
I think the guy that I get the McDaniel stuff, but I don't know how Steve is going to play those guys, especially this late into the season. The guy that they got to get, and I'm going to say it every day until the trade deadline, the one guy they got to get is Alex Caruso. That's it. That's the only guy that fits them. It's the only guy that I know will be successful on this team. It's the one guy that is going to play 20 minutes a game.
Oh, he played 30. Let's be honest.
Seriously.
To your point, Caruso's 28. OG's 25 or 26. Like, you know, McDaniel's 23. Yeah. Like, there's a reality to it. It's like those guys are Andrew Wiggins' age. They're in their prime. They're in their prime. There's no other way to put it. Everyone else, it's like you see it on the pathway, but you know, you don't get extra points for being like a high prospect in the playoffs, much to Joe Lacob's chagrin.
I know, and it's a go for it move, and he's gonna play right away, and you know he can pass, he can cut, he can defend. Like it's just such an obvious fit, but you know they'll try the home, like Jalen McDaniels is kind of a home run draft selection. I mean a home run trade because. He could be like Andrew Wiggins, like not exactly like Andrew Wiggins, but that type of style, like you're saying. So that's that would be a home run move theoretically.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get to the voicemails.
Go.
We've done enough of this. Oh, by the way. We got a special trade deadline show coming on Sunday. Got our Light Years insider letting us know what's going on with the trade talks. But let's get to the voicemails, Tim.
All right, this is my question. This felt like all the starters were tired. Steph, all of his shots were short. It felt like nobody had legs at the end of the game. And of course, we had a short rotation. Guys like Wiseman, Moody, not playing. I think I sort of feel like this is Kerr forcing his hand of being like, hey, trade, or guys aren't going to play. We're going to keep losing games. Guys are going to get tired. However, if no move is made by the deadline, do you think this is just a bullshit move by Kerr? And then after the deadline, when nobody's coming in, well, we got to play more guys to rest guys' legs? I don't know. It just seems like guys are really tired, and I don't know how much they can keep this up for the rest of the 31 games. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a great observation.
I'm a CT on it.
I'm with it. Steve Kerr, you know, the Phil Jackson disciple, the play mind games disciple. He's always trying to find ways to make a statement, and I think this is a pretty obvious statement. I'm surprised he didn't come out there and say, we just ran out of guys. You know, how much more obvious can Steve do it? He should come out there tomorrow when nobody's playing. He should come out and just say, guys are
nobody
tired.
Practiced today. They're dead.
Yeah.
Steph's in a wheelchair, guys. No. All right. Next one.
Hey guys, it's Varun. I just watched our year 14 and year 12 players, Steph and Dre, kick away another close game with turnovers. It's really frustrating. I guess my question is, if you were Kerr, would you do anything differently than what he's doing? Would you actually try to hold him accountable in any meaningful way? It seems like he pretty much just doesn't coach them at all, which is understandable because of how much they've accomplished, but this is really driving me up the wall. So I know Andy especially likes to chirp Kerr. So if you were in his shoes, like, would you do anything or would you just let the shit keep happening? Thanks.
I love when people think you hate Steve, even though you're far more pro Steve than me. you guys are aligned philosophically.
There is no one. I saw myself in Steve. I lose my shit, and then I realize, yeah, you know what? Everything about Steve Kerr and what he hates is exactly what I hate. You know what I mean? I watched Jordan take another match on, and I'm just like, Steve was right. Anyway, for Steve, I don't know what you're supposed to do. So I'll give this one over to you.
Yeah, I do think it's a little bit of a statement from Steve in general, where he's just kind of like, it does sometimes feel like Steve's just doing the whole like, hey guys, there's only 7.5 guys who can play. So what do you want me to do? I'm trying to win games here. Let's keep moving.
What do you want me to do?
Hi, my name is Greg, aka G Money, long time listener, first time caller. The reason I'm calling the suicide hotline tonight, I mean Light Years hotline tonight, is you know, same shit, Jesus. Different day. Not much to do. Unlucky.
Oh, thank you, Greg. I appreciate that laugh. I really did. I needed that one. I don't have much else to say. Let's get to the next one.
Hey, Sam and Andy, it's Archie calling from Baltimore. Tough game. You know, it is what it is. I've kind of accepted the notion we're probably going to hover around as like a 500 team. I think our window of wins to losses is probably somewhere within like the 5-game range. I would kind of be a little bit surprised if it exited that. Didn't really want to bash the players or the team in general as far as, you know, what happened in the fourth or overall just some of the decision-making that happened in the game. Just something just in reference to Kuminga. I felt like, you know, at the end of the third or towards the end of the third, there were just really good things that you could just kind of see with him as far as like confidence, yada, 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 certain things that he's doing. And then he has the offensive foul when he set in the screen. It was a really tic-tacky call, but it was called and he got pulled and we never really saw him after that. Just kind of felt like as much as Steph making the turnover was such a swing in the game, I kind of feel like his presence down the stretch would have made, you know, a difference and, you know, impacted the game in a more positive way. Tommy Gunn always talks about the fact that him and Lamb's minute distribution should be like 60-30 and, you know, reference to Kuminga. But And while I agree, I do think that we should see more Kuminga. I think he should be trusted more. So when he makes those mistakes, he can learn from them. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Can't get better. You can't get better without making mistakes, man. It's the only way. And I know they're trying to thread Neo, but Kuminga's got to play more. I don't know. Like against OKC, you got a couple fouls on Shai Gilgeous, and Kerr just took him out. And it's like, I get it. You want to get vets in, but I don't know. How's Kuminga supposed to get better?
I agree. Appreciate the call, Archie. I don't necessarily disagree with either thing. I do feel like there is space for Kuminga to get like 5 more minutes. Like, honestly, yeah. If Kuminga's getting 20 minutes a game, like, that's pretty damn good, you know, that sort of thing. And they do need his athleticism out there. He did have foul trouble, though. And in general, I'm going to say Steve's got him enough minutes since he's been in the rotation because he's averaging over 20 a game. But yeah, a little frustrating right now.
Give me the Baldwin minutes. I know it's not a game changer. They're probably not. They're not winning more games, maybe, because we have no idea. But I like watching Baldwin play, man. He's a real shooter. Not scared to shoot out there.
He can shoot the fuck out of the ball.
6'10", you know what I mean? I know he's not, you know, he's not the elite defender. He might not even make a good defensive player, but damn, man. He can move the ball a little bit, you know what I mean? So
no, he's a Warriors player. Like, he can shoot. He can do a lot of things.
Yeah. Hey, guys, it's Mike Ferguson down in Los Angeles. First time, long time. And just watched the Warriors blow that lead against Minnesota and watched Naz Reid completely dominate them. And Jordan Poole throw the ball over the court. Steph throw the ball over the court. And Jonathan Kuminga sitting during crunch time when we could use his defense and rebounding. And I don't know, are we back on the hashtag Fire Kerr bandwagon yet? Or where are we? But the one thing I can't get over is we need to get Jordan Poole out of town. Get us somebody who can play some defense, make a shot, do anything.
This is Andy's guy.
All right, take care, guys. Ooh. Thanks.
Man, that's aggressive. Wow.
It, you know what? Like, it does, like, everything comes back to, like, dissatisfaction with the roster, right? Like, too much pool,
yep.
Not enough, like, size on the wings. Are they playing Kuminga enough? Is he the solution? Is it not enough? Draymond looks like he's, you know, exhausted because he's, you know, he has, like, 3 new grades every game. You know, it's like it all comes back to the same thing. We all know what it looks like. The bones of this team can win. They need a couple supplementary pieces to have a complete team. Otherwise, they're just asking these dudes to be superhuman for 2 months of the playoffs, and that just doesn't feel fair.
And it might already be too late. Not to be the freaking bad guy here, but might already be too late.
Solomon's Tech bringing this up. Dubs have yet to be 3 games over 500 this season.
Good.
Double thumbs up.
Great. Good for them.
It's that is who they are. They get 1-2 up, they lose. It's frustrating. We got a week.
We need pods versus wins from Jake from Chicago, or I forget his name, but need him to call back.
Yeah. First off, the absolute legend, Jake from Chicago. Oh, you can never forget your name. Let me ask you real quick before I get to the next one. Do you think they will make a move? What, give me your percentage. Give me Andy Liu shooting from the gut 1 week ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold it against you, even though someone will hold it against you.
People will. And I love it. I love it. I love it. This is why I go 75%. I see 70. I think they're going to make a move. I think that this pressure has been set.
And you're going to be arguing on the timeline that converting Anthony Lamb counts as a move.
I'm not going to be arguing. I'm going to be yelling. I'm going to be fucking yelling. I'm not going to be arguing, dude. It's going to be a very, very dark place in the Lou apartment here in Burlingame. The day that happens. Jesus Christ.
The back cave.
Let's go. Hey, wait, it's Reggie. I don't even know what to say about tonight's game. I was in OKC to watch them win, which was a really fun game. Trash city, by the way, OKC, don't ever go there. But, I thought they would, like, stack the wins now because they fucked around in the early part of the season. But, you know, the fuckery continues. don't know what to say. I hope they can figure it out. Who the hell knows? Favorite ice cream, chocolate chip cookie dough. Out.
Ooh.
First off, should we title the pod The Fuckery Continues?
That was perfect. By the way, Neil, comes in with title of the pod. There you go. The fuck right continue. There you go. In the comment section. Wow. Actually, let throw a comment before the next call, producer Tim. Throw on the Han Solo Dolo, funny name, comment up there, because I think this is great. This season is worse than 2021 that because they weren't expected to win at all. Now they're the defending champs and they suck. They're happy with the chip they won last year. Lakeup is ready to move on from the vets. I got no comment. It's pretty good.
I hope he's wrong. I mean, I don't disagree with him because that's what it feels like.
What it feels like.
But I hope he's wrong, you know? But I have a feeling he hopes he's wrong too. So that's just how it goes. Nice. Little group therapy. Very frustrated. What's your favorite ice cream, Andy?
Oh, dude. So I love vanilla, which is not very fun. I love vanilla bean. Love it. But gonna, you've got to...
Gonna resist a joke.
pistachio. You got, dude, I tried this the... Yeah, dude, you gotta try. I know people look at me like I'm crazy.
Pistachio. No, that's literally like a Persian ice cream thing. The really? Pistachio ice cream. Yes, come on, man.
You know I've never had like Persian ice cream.
Wow. I feel like you're gentrifying my people.
Oh, we've known each other for a decade. I've never had Persian ice cream. Where can I get Persian ice cream? South Bay?
Definitely in South Bay. Give me a second to think of the peninsula location because it's not.
I'm there.
I can give you East Bay and South Bay off the top of my head, but
I'm there.
Yes. Pistachio is our people's jam.
Wow.
And some rose water, too.
Don't even know what one is.
Hey, guys. Go. This is Shree. The Wiseman discourse in my group chats is not great right now. nothing is good. And listen, this isn't because of anything he did tonight. It's more about what he didn't do tonight. And that's just no contribution, right? It's like, you have a, I don't know, you have like a future star, future player, anything. And with the number two overall pick just sitting on the bench, not playing in the G League, he's not getting any minutes. Yeah, he's essentially a wasted roster spot. You have to trade him, like not even for the sake of the team, but for the sake of the player. Yeah, it's like,
it's facts. Yeah.
I feel so bad, I don't know, watching him as this team chokes another lead in the last 4 or 5 minutes of a game. Well, this game really got out of hand the second Steph threw that pass, but that's another issue. I just feel really, really bad for Wiseman. Thanks, guys. I know it's a could be a little off take, but I don't know. It's just frustrating watching him just sit there. Thanks.
Let me say this. The kid is in a rough spot, and I think that's why he can't play in the G League. He's not playing in the big leagues. It's his third season. I guess he's still going to get paid next year. But if you're him, and on a smaller scale, if you're Moses Moody, aren't you kind of looking at your career like, damn, are we losing a chance to make money here? Are we losing a chance to just show who we can be? Because, man, it is hard to be those kids right now. And like he said, outside of the fact that they're not helping the Warriors, just think about them. Think about them. That's tough. That's tough.
At the risk of sounding like an a-hole, I have zero sympathy. Second pick overall 3 years ago, 30 mil in the bank.
It's not bad.
Play better. Like, force your way through the rotation. There's really only two outcomes to this scenario, if I'm being honest with you. Either he's not good and he's a bust, and that's unfortunate, but it's time for the Warriors to move on. Or Steve Kerr is a maniac, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's not playing a kid who can help the team. There's not really another outcome in this scenario. All this he's not ready stuff is BS. I'm sorry. Like, it's been long enough. He can either contribute in some fashion or Steve is insane. One of those two, but I'm done with the whole, like,
wow.
I feel bad for him. I need to. No, dude, he's compensated. He'll be okay. Life will move on. Not a big deal. Another team's going to take a chance on him. They're going to try to build him up. He's going to make more money. He'll end up making 50 mil. If he never makes it in the NBA, if he makes it as a star, he might make 300 mil, you know? So whatever. It feels like one of those things that people say because they feel like they have to say it because they're afraid of saying what they want to say.
You know who would be, by the way, that was fucking amazing. You know who would be good on the Bob podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bob always talking about the meaning of life on his podcast. You know who'd be good? That boy Big Jim. Perfect. I can't wait for that. You know, like 6 months from now, you know, Big Jim's over there in Detroit or somewhere, and he's playing better. You know, he's averaging a double-double, you know, 10 points, 10 rebounds every game, and goes on Bob's pod and just cries with him and just goes, you know, remember those days when I was like, all right, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. I like your rant. I do feel bad for him.
Lies. All right, let me play the last one.
I cannot believe what I just watched. I'm sick. I feel like the Eagles just beat us again. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Every night we're finding new ways to lose. I can't believe it. Here we are again. We're just mid. We just don't got it. I don't know what to tell you. That's it. Wow. What did I just see? Most unserious team in the league. Oh, my God. Have a good night.
And you know what?
Just the double thumbs up. Just
we'll see you this weekend.
I have nothing else to add. They need to be more serious. We can talk. We'll make up a third McDaniels if we need to.
Mike McDaniel. Yeah. He can be a head coach. You know, bring on Mike McDaniel. Josh McDaniel. No. They don't want Josh McDaniel.
That's not the move. You don't want Josh McDaniel. All of them. Just literally Steph surrounded with McDaniels.
Stephen Goon.
Oh, whatever. We'll be back. Appreciate everyone.